Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail with two editorial pages, one liberal, one conservative, kind of like The Front Porch. See more at wvgazettemail.com. And you're on The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, executive director here, along with Rick Wilson. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And we're going to talk today about, of course, the state budget. We love it. We keep coming back to it. We can't stay away. It's just too sexy of a topic. Unfortunately, we're missing Lori Lynn. She's our conservative columnist and
she's
lawyer.
She's leading a workshop on tiger training at this moment, I believe, and she should be back next week.
On what sort of training?
Tiger training, you know, for animal performances.
Okay. I didn't know she had that.
She has that talent. Yeah, she's pretty good.
Thanks. So stay safe, Lori, and we look forward to having her back next week. Until then, you know, it's a time of transitions, right, Rick? We have Tomlin, Governor Tomlin, is moving on. He gave his farewell address, and he submitted a balanced budget based on a 1% increase in the sales tax, tax on cell phones. Of course, it's dead on arrival because there's going to be a new governor. The legislature says they don't want to raise taxes. What can we expect to deal with what is estimated to be a $400 million budget hole?
Yeah.
It's not going to be fun, right?
I mean, not going to be pretty, yeah. We have a revenue problem in this state. You know, the state has cut taxes by a huge amount over the last 10 years to little or no effect. And, you know, people make the analogy that, you know, well, our state's like a family budget. You know, we got to live within our means. No, states get to decide how much money they're going to make, unlike a typical family. And we have a revenue crisis. The PEIA system is really in bad shape. We've cut public education for 10 years or more, higher education especially. We've cut hundreds of millions of dollars from our budget. I mean, there's not a whole lot of fat left.
So Speaker Armstead spoke a little bit about this, and he said basically this is an opportunity, actually, to right-size state government. He and Senate President Mitch Carmichael have made it very clear they don't think that in the middle of a near recession, we should be asking the taxpayers to pay more. How can you justify asking them to pay more?
How can you justify more tax cuts in the total absence of them doing any good economically? If you're going to increase revenue, you could offset the more regressive parts of it with something like an earned income tax credit, you know, for people who would be hit hardest by that. It is true sales taxes are regressive in the sense that poor people spend more of their money on purchasing necessities than wealthy people do. On the other hand, if we make drastic cuts, if we can't fix our roads, if our schools are falling apart, if we're laying off public employees, you know, that's not good either.
I find it interesting. Nobody's talking about raising business taxes.
Yeah.
So what's on the table right now is either cuts to services or a tax that will basically hit low-income people the hardest, which is the sales tax. Would you guys rather have a sales tax increase than cuts? Or would you rather see business taxes go back up again if you're in charge of the world?
It would be interesting if we looked at, like, the severance tax for gas or maybe looking at a transfer tax. Like, if you know, some of our materials extracted here are being shipped elsewhere, not being processed here, where the value is added. I think Louisiana and some other places do that. We could probably do more with online sales, I think.
Taxing internet sales and that sort of thing. I mean, and this is all moot. It's a conversation for this year, at least, because you have almost a supermajority of Republicans in the House and the Senate. You have a fairly conservative Democratic governor coming in. And so at the end of the day, there will be more cuts. Even Governor Tomlin's proposed budget had cuts in it as well. We want to talk a little bit about what to preserve then, if that's part of it too. Where do the reductions come from? I got some ideas and I have some things I'd like to preserve. I mean, West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we've talked about this before. We're a state agency. Now we're a state agency that matches every dollar the state gives us with another dollar of revenue that we raise from multiple sources. And I feel like we do really important things in education, in public safety, in providing, for example, during the inauguration and during Governor Tomlin's farewell address, we were the pool camera that provided that free service. Everybody could watch it on the internet. They could watch it on TV. That's part of what we do. And one of the proposals that's being floated out there, there was a legislative audit that just came out that said that there's a TV channel that's operated by the Library Commission. It's called the Library Channel. It's kind of a public access channel. It's available on some cable systems. And their recommendation was that this channel and the resources be turned over to public broadcasting. And look, Rick, I know you love libraries. I love libraries. I grew up in a library, basically. But I think this would be a smart thing and a smart thing to consolidate those functions into what we do here, especially with our new West Virginia channel.
How much does that cost? Do we know that?
I think there are like four employees, full-time employees that do that, in addition to the cost of doing it. Also, here's the other thing. Almost every state agency has some sort of spokesperson or many spokespeople. And occasionally they also have video production staff. Some of these video production staff do a spectacular job. I point out the Division of Environmental Protection. They do a show called Environment Matters. And it's really high quality. It talks about how the environment affects our lives. It's not just self-promotional for the agency, which is really important, I think. But there are other shows that are done right now that are of less quality, frankly, and are having less impact. And our pitch to the legislature and the governor is that we can help get these messages out more effectively in ways that people actually want to receive them.
I do think public broadcasting really has improved, stepped up its game in the last several years. And
ever since Rick joined the front porch, that's when it all started, really.
Yeah, but I received no funding for doing the front porch.
Not a bit, actually.
Zero, zip. And I deserve it. So the other thing, I want to go back to right-sizing for a minute. Are we going to right-size the cost of a college education, right? Are we going to right-size the level of educational attainment in the state? Are we going to right-size the number of senior citizens who need help and services?
So what do you think is actually going to happen? Because with state budget cuts, it really does affect people that are in each of these senators' and delegates' districts. It's taking meals away from seniors. It's roads that don't get fixed. What do you think is going to actually happen when they have to fill this budget hole?
I mean, it is going to be a game of chicken. Here's the way I think about the state budget, at least general fund. Nearly half goes to K-12 education, which is kind of important. Not quite 10%, but around 10 goes to higher ed, which is really important, especially in a state where we've cut it so much, where we have low educational attainments, where there's evidence that these provide a big bang for the buck economically. That's 60% right there.
Did you see where there's actually more degrees being given out today than there were a few years ago, despite all the cuts in higher education? I think there's really good evidence that the higher education money is being used very efficiently here.
Oh, I think it is. And I think people, they haven't had a lot extra to go with. I know like adjuncts at state institutions probably haven't received any increase in 15 or 20 years. I mean, it's really crazy. But anyway, so that's 60% or more. Then another 20% goes to DHHR, which is largely caring for our elderly. And then there's roads and there's public safety. There, you know, the parks and recreation, tourism, which are all really important. If you look at where the money goes and where people would like their tax money to go, I think if you look at it, most people would support the kind of priorities the state has.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and some of the exciting things going on in the news around him. But first, you're listening to The Front Porch because 10,000 people in West Virginia, throughout the nation, throughout the world, are part of West Virginia Public Broadcasting through their membership, through their annual donation, including Rick Wilson. Even Rick Wilson is a member of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Mostly my wife, you know, she writes a check.
But you know, you've been listening for a while. I'm sure some of you are members. Thank you. Some of you aren't. Sometimes it takes 10 times is what I'm hearing from the experts of hearing this message before you break down and finally give in. So I hope that we're at number 10 and you're going to go to wvpublic.org, click that donate button and become a member at any level that feels right to you. And thanks. Okay, we're back on the front porch. Scott Finn with Rick Wilson, trying to do without Lori Lynn this week. It's hard. But luckily, you're here because I want to talk about goats.
Yes.
There's this thing called goat yoga.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Apparently, a very enterprising person in Oregon is offering yoga classes in her barn with baby goats and with other small goats. And apparently, people find it really relaxing. I mean, I think you need to
be
really...
Do you provide yoga for your goats, Rick?
Our goats pretty much do their own yoga. If you were out there in the field doing yoga, they would probably come and watch. Although I think you really need to be careful about what kind of goats you get if you're going to do a goat yoga class.
I mean, this is like something out of Portlandia, that show. I can't imagine it working in West Virginia, although I don't know. I mean, maybe you should start having goat yoga at the Wilson farm.
Well, you know, baby goats are really, they are fun. Like if you get down, like, you know, on your hands and knees, I used to have one that we have now that would get up and stand on my back, and they're really cute and playful. And I think people do like the animal thing, although there's different breeds of goats, and different ones are more, some are kind of grumpy and some are more like Labrador retrievers. And then the big thing you want to watch out for is you wouldn't want to do goat yoga with unneutered male goats. Do you know why, Scott? Do you know about unneutered male goats?
No, I don't know what the deal is with yoga and unneutered male goats.
Okay, let me just say, we do not have any unneutered male goats. When our lady goats feel the desire of a gentleman caller, we put them in the back of a Toyota Matrix and take them to visit a gentleman. But people who have male goats keep them separately, usually in their own pen, because they are very, very fragrant. In fact, if you would brush up against a male goat, your jacket would smell of male goat for like a long time.
What do you mean by smell of male goat?
I can help a brother out on this. But one thing male goats do, which, sorry, front porch people, that this is the way it works. They actually micturate, that is to say, urinate on their beards. They do it apparently because the fragrance is attractive to females. And I would just like to say, don't try that at home, West Virginia, unless you're really good at yoga, because you could probably hurt yourself.
That's what they need the yoga for.
Maybe so.
Would you call that a golden shower?
I believe that's a reference to classical mythology, I believe, Scott. I usually do biblical verses here, but I believe that came up in the story of the birth of Perseus the hero to Danae.
Are you kidding me? That's like, I just thought that was some internet thing. That's actually a thing from like Greek mythology.
According to Greek mythology, Perseus the great hero was, his mother was Danae, and her father didn't want her to have a kid, and he kept her locked away. And then Zeus, who's very resourceful at things like that, impregnated her in the form of a golden shower, golden rain.
Huh.
And that's where the hero Perseus came from, who killed the different monsters. And
you learn something. I learn something every time I listen to the front porch. It's fascinating. Well, since we haven't talked about Trump at all yet, I think it's time for us to get to that topic a little bit, because it's been a busy time with him coming into office. Matter of fact, I'll do a little bit more log rolling. We have a really awesome Inside Appalachia episode that's out. Check out the podcast at wvpublic.org, all about like why Appalachia went for Trump, and then talking to Appalachians who are against Trump. And there are a significant number of them as well. I mean, there's so much that's going on at the national level. But how's this affect us? You know, what does this mean for West Virginia, for Appalachia?
Well, there's the effect on the whole country. One thing I'm really concerned about, I mean, if we're sticking to like fairly serious topics at this moment, he campaigned on not messing with Social Security or Medicare, but Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, wants to turn Medicare into a voucher program. They really want to block grant Medicaid to the states, which is a way of really cutting what it would be otherwise.
How do you think? In the Affordable Care Act, too, now.
Yeah.
But they're talking about repealing it and then delaying a response to it. It seems like there are a lot of Republicans now in the Senate, at least, that are not for that anymore, and that they are going to try to work out a replacement and repeal and replace at the same time. As someone who's an advocate for the Affordable Care Act, do you think that that's a good sign for your side?
I think some people are starting to realize what the consequences would be if you just abruptly got rid of it. There's one study came out that showed in West Virginia, we'd lose about 45% of our medically assisted substance abuse treatment if they repealed ACA, and because a big Medicaid expansion especially covers a lot of that. I'm going to have an op-ed out Friday, I think, about looking at different states, and it's amazing how many people got, like 500,000 people in Ohio have gotten either mental health or substance abuse treatment since they did Medicaid expansion.
Do you think folks, there's been a lot of this on the internet, you think folks who received the Affordable Care Act, do you think they know that it's the same thing as Obamacare and that it's at risk?
I think there might be a lot of of clarity there, yeah, unfortunately. Lack of clarity. In fact, when we were actually working to try to get Medicaid expanded to persuade Governor Tomlin to do it, which, yay, thank you, Governor Tomlin, awesome job. We interviewed and profiled some people and talked to people who, who would benefit from it. And one person I know thought Obamacare was really bad, but Medicaid expansion was awesome.
It's interesting. I read something in Vox. A lot of people who aren't part of the Medicaid expansion but have bought insurance through the exchanges are resentful because they feel like the people who received the Medicaid expansion got a better deal.
Yeah, to a certain extent, that's true. I mean, they have much less income, so I don't know if you'd want to cut your living standard to 138% of the poverty level with all that that entails to get a little bit better deal on health care. And the other thing I'll say
maybe the argument there is that what some people really want is they want, so they don't want called socialized health care, but maybe that's what they really want. Or at least they don't want someone else to get it if they can't get it too.
You've heard of the crabs in a barrel analogy, right? You put a bunch of crabs in a barrel, they're going to pull each other down. I think it'd be better if we tried to figure out how to raise everybody up when it comes to health care. Unfortunately, or however you look at it, since 2010, you know, there are ways of fixing and improving the Affordable Care Act, which have just been blocked in Congress because some people are just wanting to get rid of it altogether. Mitch McConnell said his top priority was making President Obama be a failure.
Do you think, by the way, so let's talk about that. One last thing. Do you think that Democrats and people on your side in Congress ought to
do would that be?
Well, let's just pretend the people closest to your point of view. Do you think the Democrats ought to do the same thing as Mitch McConnell did with the Republicans and Obama and just try to throw sand in the gears of the Trump administration and the Republican Congress, not work with them, just do everything they can to stop everything? Or do you think that they should attempt to work in the system to make proposals more like the way they want this? You know what I mean? Should they work together or not?
That's a tough question. I think, I will never be in the position of having to decide that, but I think throwing sand where sand's appropriate, you know, and if some things are rational and well done, then I have a friend who's actually a lobbyist who said, like, the main thing you need to know is when the dog poops in the right place, you say, good boy. You know what I mean? And so I do believe that's a good general rule for politics. When they do something good, you say, good boy, you know, or good girl. So, I mean, not that there's a direct literal connection between dogs vacating themselves and the pursuit of public policy in a great democracy. But
so, Rick, what's the Bible verse for this week?
Actually, what I had was a poem, but I don't know if we have time for that. I can just do like
it's a podcast. We can just go on and on. If people are still listening, they'll stick around for your poem.
Okay, this poem is apropos of nothing. It has nothing to do with the situation of the world or the country. It's a cheery little poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming, and I'll just do excerpts from it. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Skipping a few lines, that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. Maybe it's a goat, you know? But that's a little cheery poem by William Butler Yeats, apropos of nothing.
That has nothing to do with the current political situation.
Nothing at all.
And that's the Front Porch for this week. You've been listening to Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Scott Finn, unfortunately, Lori Lynn, not here.
Training Tigers.
Not here to stop Rick from ranting about his progressive beliefs.
Or goats.
Or to stop me from rent seeking and log rolling. So hopefully she'll be back next week. I do want to say a special thank you to Xander Alloy. He has been not just the guy who actually records this show and mixes it, gets it on the internet, but also someone who has helped us to, you know, figure out what sort of topics we should talk about to keep us from going off the deep end too far.
Musical selections,
of course. So, hey, Xander, thank you very much. He's going off to, and I'm not making this up, folks, to become a blacksmith in Detroit. So pretty cool, huh? I mean, and unique. So good luck with that. We really appreciate all you've done for the Front Porch.
That's right. Amen.
And that's the Front Porch for this week. Thanks for listening.
Take care.